I don't have another mic for you.
Good to have you here today. Really good to have you here today. Okay, so I'm going to be preaching to you this morning, this evening, afternoon. Yeah, give me the time, please. Yeah, all right. So we're doing good, eh? We're not going to lose our place. We're going to never lose sight of the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we're here. Today, it's about his wonder, it's about his glory, it's about something about him that we need to get hold of, or he needs to get hold of us. And I think that's really what it's about, because somewhere along it all, we can actually lose the wonder. And it may be a small thing, maybe just a little event, can be a season that we've been in. And I mean, this is a year now, eh? It's a year that we've been in a season, and I think just prior, you know, just sort of the pre-part of the season, you kind of thought, wow, 3 weeks, it's all over, and then, done for. And here we are, a year later. And I want us not to lose the wonder of what God has done. What God has done. I want to read a scripture for you. In Hebrews 12, just to put a little context to where we're at. All right, here we go at verse 25. There we are. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised. He has promised. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, the created things, so that we cannot be shaken. Sorry. So that what cannot be shaken may remain. So I want to speak to you this afternoon about God's answer to chaos, or God's answer to the shaking. The shaking is of him. And I'm not trying to allude to the fact that COVID or anything about COVID may be God shaking. But I'm not going to ignore the moment of something happening in our midst. Because God doesn't need a disease to shake us. He doesn't need that. He can shake us with the weather. He can shake us with an earthquake. He can shake us with many things. He can take away your job. He can take away anything. He can shake us. God's answer to chaos is yielding to his strength. God's answer to the shaking is yielding to his strength. Something changes in us when we are shaken. And I hope you've realized that today, that something changes when we are shaken. And if nothing has changed, then you need to be shaken. You need to experience the shaking. And I'm not trying to prophetically speak over you and say bad things. You must be shaken, because shaken comes in different forms and sizes, and only God knows how to shake us and really deal with the very heart of our lives. Let me say this to you. Our God is a way maker. We know that. It's not something new. We've heard it. We've sung the song. Our God is a way maker. And he is. And sometimes we need to understand that his way and making his way comes at a time when we are shaking. When we are shaking. I want to speak to you about traction. You know what traction is? It's about rubber on the road. It's about where that kind of adhesion comes.
And there is something like that even in the spirituals. There is an adhesion. There's something between us and God that needs to be good. And we can lose our traction. We can. We can lose it through circumstances that we've experienced in the past couple of months. And sometimes we can actually get stuck there. And if you know anything about driving a car, you can actually get stuck when you've lost your traction. You can get stuck in the sand. You can get stuck in the mud. If you're in the USA, you can get stuck in the ice. You can't get stuck in the ice. In the snow. You're stationary in the ice. You don't move. It's stuck, like stuck. Okay. So you can get really bogged down when you lose traction. You understand that. And understand it in the spiritual as well, that we can really get bogged down. Now, here's an amazing story in the scriptures. And I try to find a story that matches. And just about there are a whole bunch of stories that come out where people got stuck, where people get stiffened in a place where they cannot move forward. And it's God dealing with us. And we don't like God dealing with us. And none of us really want to get rebooted. Don't worry about it, John. No tissue. Yeah, something like that. Just a reminder. Just recently I had my hard drive upgraded. And you know what that means when you boot up for the first time after the regrading. Everything's changed. Where you put it the last time, it ain't there anymore. Where you want to find a particular program, it doesn't work like that anymore. It's just like all different. You download again, you've got to upload again, you've got to do stuff, you've got to add stuff, subtract stuff, rearrange it, you've got to redo everything. You need a reboot. And I really believe that we need to ask God today to give us a reboot in these times. Because it's the only way that we're going to get through this thing. We don't know. And I wish we know. And I wish we could have an answer to the questions, the many questions that come into our hearts. We had people in this congregation, lost loved ones, close loved ones. I don't know how to answer them. I don't know how to answer them. I don't know what to say. Apart from this, that someday we will know. Someday we will understand that everything that needed to be shaken was needed so that only that which should remain has remained. We need to get to that place. Were all those things. All right, the stories in Exodus 13 and 15, don't even go there because we're not going to read three chapters. We're kind of like on a bit of a timeline. It's an amazing story. It begins at the journey of the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going into the promised land. Now we kind of read it over, gloss over it in a few lines. We just see through these things, three, four, five chapters, and we go down and we see the various events that took place. But let's just take the very first part of the event, and I really want to just focus on a particular place and a particular event. And in summary, from Goshen, the place where they were living in Egypt, and you know the story quite well. But Goshen was a place that they were living. There were about 2 million, 3 million of them living there. It's quite a big crowd, not a small crowd. They needed to leave because they were under the suppression of the Egyptians. The Egyptians were slave drivers. They drove them hard. They drove them skinny. They drove them to death. Some of them were really crying out to God and saying, God, we need help. We need to get out of this. But I want you to understand that right at this time, they didn't have much of God in their lives or knowledge of God in their lives. They basically were following what their fathers had taught them. They're following the Abrahams and the Isaacs and the Jacobs. They were following these people from their words and their learning. So they didn't have a lot of knowledge about God. They didn't know about Sabbath. They didn't know about that. That only came afterwards. But anyway, let's not get stuck into that place there. From Goshen to the place called Sinai, where they eventually ended up, where God begins to speak to them and God begins to give them direction, is about 700 kilometers apart. You didn't think that, eh? You kind of thought, well, out of Goshen, Red Sea, you know, got to do a bit of swimming. No, it was like 400 kilometers away from Goshen, the Red Sea. And if you look at the map, and I looked at the map, I studied the map, and I was quite surprised. It was actually quite a narrow part of the sea. And I think people say, oh, yeah, well, typical, you know, God would choose the easiest way to get them through. But let me tell you, that short little small blue patch on the map is actually 19 kilometers. So they had to walk 19 kilometers, 3 million people, through the sea to get to the other side. Now, these are just some of the amazing parts of the story. They're beautiful. So it took them about 25 days to get to the Red Sea, these 400-odd kilometers. It's pretty fast. If you think about it, they were roughly averaging about 16 kilometers a day. 3 million people. That's a lot of people moving. Men, women, children, pregnant women, old people, young people, full of energy people, running around people, people that don't know the rules of the roads. It's kind of like a tough space. Anyway, God, it says in verse 18 of chapter 13, says this, God led the people by the way of the wilderness. If you look at the map, that is quite a way out of the way to get to Canaan. There was a straight way that could have gone to Canaan. So why did he want to do that? I figure it was because he needed to get rid of the Egyptians once and for all. He actually had to deal with them. Otherwise, they would be hounded by the Egyptians forever because they were bound to them as slaves. They were bound to them as slaves, and God needed to free them up from their slavery and bring them into a promise that he had made to Abraham way down before. So how did God lead them? He led them by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, by day and by night. How big was this pillar? Anybody take a guess? Anybody? Skinny little... I think it could probably be something that would cover the face of 2 million people. That's how wide it could be. Maybe 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers wide. This whole thing moving before them. That's how God led them. Going a little further on, we read in chapter 14, verse 8, the people of Israel went out defiantly. They were raising their hands. We're out of this. We're moving on. We're going to the promised land. We are free. That is an outside attitude. A little later, they're standing in front of the Red Sea, about 25 days later. So they kind of like had some breathing space and some place to get a little organized, at least know how to put their tent up and organize themselves. I don't know how they carried all this stuff, really, seriously. If I look at the way we camp, it could be quite a difficult thing to get 3 million people into a campsite, you know. All the ablutions, no ablution blocks. Isn't it kind of like serious? How do you do this? Anyway, I don't want to waste too much time just getting into the grave details of these things. And they get to the place, the Red Sea, and suddenly someone shouts, the Egyptians are coming. They see a cloud of dust in the background there, and the Egyptians had latched onto the idea that these people weren't coming back. They'd gone. They'd left. They'd hiked out of the land, and they're gone forever. Our servants have gone. We've got nobody to build. We've got nobody to labor for us. We're nobody. They lost the whole of Israel. So they chased after them. And right about this time, God begins to engage with the people. Because I think if you and I were there, what would be the main feature of the time? Panic. It's like serious panic. One man leading this crowd. I don't know if he had, you know, I mean, he had Aaron on his side. It's kind of like, you know, how do we do this, bro? You know, this kind of thing. We've got 3 million people, and a whole bunch of them start screaming at him. A whole bunch of them. I don't think just a few. There were a few of them screaming at him, saying, why did you bring us here to die? Why didn't you just leave us in Egypt? And Moses was right, kind of like, well, you know, just cool it, guys. Just, you know, hang on. I don't know how it felt, but I don't think it was easy. I don't think it was an easy moment there for Moses standing at the time. And you'll probably see in the attitude that he shows in a moment or two. In verse 13 of chapter 14, it says this, and Moses said to the people, fear not. So God is speaking to Moses. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. It's interesting that word salvation is actually the word Yeshua. See the Yeshua of the Lord. So here's a picture of Jesus coming through their deliverance right at that moment. The Yeshua of Jehovah was revealed to them at the time. The salvation of the Lord, which he will work today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. They will disappear. They will be obliterated. Now that's quite a prophetic statement to make. When all these Egyptians are standing here, virtually 36 odd kilometers away. Scary place. Then God has a moment with Moses. He says to him, "Why are you crying to me?" Because Moses must have been fussing at that time. You know, about 3,000 people had come to him and said, "What the heck are you doing?" They were shouting at him. He was getting flustered, frustrated. He was looking ahead. Here's the sea. I mean, goodness God, why did you bring us to the sea? Why don't you just take us around the long way or the short way or find another way? I mean, this way, seriously, it's going to get us into serious trouble. We are going to get stuck here. We are not being able to move. And the Lord said to him, "Why are you crying to me?" The Hebrew word is actually shrieking to me. Why are you shrieking at me? And God actually said, God gives him a download and he says, "The Lord will fight for you." You see, what I'm trying to create for you is a little bit of a picture. And you may not be sensitized enough to understand or realize that maybe these pictures of where we're living right now and the pictures that they were going through right at that time are very similar or like. But I'm sure there were elements that are very much the same. A lot of panic, a lot of crying, a lot of shouting, a lot of screaming at each other, at God, "Give us direction, show us the way." Even some of our leaders and even ourselves, as we look at ourselves and we are trying to find a way through this thing, it's difficult. Let's try this, let's do that. Things are happening to the church. 50 people in a church, I don't even think we're 50 here today. It's a scary space. What do we do with this? Can we improve on this? Is it better? Is it the best thing? Do you like singing with a mask on? All of these things, kind of, it's a grumbling space. This is like, have you brought us here to die? Are you going to leave us in this place that we're going to die? The Egyptians are on our tail. COVID is on our tail. People are speaking about a third wave already. Goodness me, we haven't even dealt with the second one. We're already on to the third one. The interesting thing is, it can disappear instantly. Like tomorrow, COVID dead, gone, finished. Viruses do that. History of viruses actually do that. They've got proof that viruses actually do that. They come to a point and they just die. Like, that's it. They have fulfilled their purpose. They've lived out their life, the virus. It's gone. Please, Lord. Be wonderful. But I'm not prophesying today. I'm not trying to find an answer in COVID, or an answer in the government, or an answer in the church, or an answer in anything. What I'm trying to find is, how do we maintain traction with God? How do we stay in that place where we've got God, where we've got God, or God has got us? And maybe that's the combination that we need to make traction. It's not just you trying to run off to God and say, "Oh God, where are you? What's happening?" You've lost traction if that's the case. Or God looking down over earth and say, "Where are you? What are you doing? Why are you not serving? Why are you not following me? What's the matter? Have you not heard my word? Have you not trusted in my ways? Have you not understood my ways?" Is any of this new to us, guys? Any of it? That we need to trust God? Is that new to you? Is it a new word that you've never heard before? Trust God. I never heard that. I never knew that before. Goodness me, trusting God, what does that mean? It's not new to us. It's the very foundation of who we are. It's the very foundation of our walk with God. The very foundation of our understanding of God is that the only way we can get through this is through the gospel. The only way we can get through this. And the gospel simply means that we need to be in Christ. That we need to be in Jesus. that we need to be glued to him and he needs to be glued to us. That we need to have some traction in this thing. Now, let me say this. Something important happens, and that happens in verse 19 of the story. And that's where I'm going to stop telling you about Exodus and tell you about us. In the angel of God is probably Jesus. The angel of God, who was going before the host of Israel, moved and went behind him. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. That God strategically moved, repositioned himself. Number one, because he said this, I will fight for you. Number two, in essence, he was meaning he would protect them. I will keep you safe. You don't have to worry. This is the power of my strength. I will keep you in this time. God moved. God moved to reposition himself. Do you think God has moved in a time of shaking? How many of you don't feel shaken? Like, I mean, seriously, I'm okay. I was not shaken. I was okay. Any of you? You can be honest. It doesn't matter. Some of us may feel like that because of just the way we engage with God. And it doesn't have to be like something major, but something has shifted. I know something shifted. It shifted in me. It shifted in me, and I can't put my finger in it. I can't just, but that's what shaking's all about. I don't know. My hard drive has been rebooted. I don't know where that thing is. I don't know where it is anymore. I don't know where that whatever it is. Whether it's something to do with my worship, it's something to do with my prayer time, it's something to do with the way I engage with people, the longing that I have for people, the urgency that I sense in my spirit about the coming of the Lord Jesus. All of these things, it's just kind of like, and I don't have a handle on it. I don't have a grip on it. I don't have a like, okay, let's, you know, find some in place in the Bible. Step one, step two, step three. You just don't get that. These are incidents of distraction. That's why you lose traction as pursue or distracted. Traction gives you a direction. Traction gives you a place that you're going to, that you're solid. You feel good about it. You're not slipping all over the road. You're not moving. You're not stuck. You're not bound in any particular place. You have the freedom to move, not distracted. So a lot of these things that have shaken us are actually manifesting in the way people are doing church now. A lot of people say, oh, well, I don't need to go, you know, I'll book, but I don't know if I'll go. So I'm not fighting with you guys, please, I understand that. I'm not fighting with you, yeah. But there are some people that didn't come. And maybe I'm missing it. Maybe there are 50. Maybe there are 55 people and 5 of you have to leave because we only supposed to have 50. Okay, I'm going to fight. It's not what it's about, but something has moved. You understand that? And I think as elders, we had a chat the other day and it was just like something has shifted in the body. Something has moved. There's something different about it. And we quoted it there from Hebrews. Everything that can be shaken has been shaken. And a shaking of stuff that doesn't belong. Things that we've got accustomed to, little whatever's they are. I don't even want to begin to name them because then you're going to say, well, I don't have one of those. Well, I don't have one of those. You know? Well, whatever you think you don't have of, you have something else that also will get shaken. I promise you. It may be pride. Maybe that's the biggest thing that some of us suffer for. Or a thing called independence. I'm going to make this all on my own. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to get on top of this. I'm going to show the world. I'm going to prove it. I mean, that's exaggerated independence. But some of us do have a form of independence. Like, I don't need the body. I don't need God. I don't need leadership. I don't need the church. I don't need anything. I'm just going to do this on my own. I just am going to do it. God's going to shake that. He's going to shake that. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ, was not given to you to make you strong. It was given to you to make you dependent. Because you couldn't change yourself, and you will never be able to change yourself, and you will never get free of your sin, but through Jesus Christ who died on the cross for you. Never. There never is another way. God said it's the only way. So the gospel is not there to give you like power, I can do this thing. It's the power of the gospel that enables you in your weakness to live it out for God and walk it out with God. Let me make a few statements to this today. As long as there is an enemy, there will always be a fight. You remember that, please? As long as there is an enemy, there will always be a fight. And the last I heard, there's an enemy. Okay? The lion roars the loudest when he's marking his territory. And after the kill. That's the time the lion roars the loudest. The rest of the time, he grunts most of the time. All over the jungle. But when he roars, it's to mark his territory. And I've heard the lion roar, the real one, out there. And it's scary. But we don't have to be afraid. We must stop and listen and find the voice of God. Because there is a lion that is much better than that lion. And we know who that is. Our faith is the primary attraction between us and God. And it is always going to be under trial. It is always going to be tested. You can write it on the back of your hand. You can write it on your forehead if you want to. You can write it out. Your faith is going to be tested. But something that God says, and that should change your heart, God has always stood his ground with a number of things that he has said. And I'm not going to try and list them all, but here's some of them. He says, I will help you. Did you ever hear that from God? I will help you. I will be with you. Ever hear that from God? I will fight for you. Do you hear that from God? I will do what I said. Did you hear that from God? I will make a way. Friends, God has said enough for us to actually be able to get through this thing. Now, I'm not saying by any means it's easy, and that's why I'm preaching to you today. And in a few moments, I'm going to wrap up. I want you to know that we are going to make it. Not because we're good, not because we're smart, but because he is strong. Because he is strong. And he has repositioned himself in our time of shaking behind us, between us and the enemy. He's repositioned himself. That's what I sense and that's what I feel. I don't think the story is in the Bible just by coincidence. I mean, geez, you know, God moved. God moved? Seriously? Why did he move? He moved because of us. He moved because of them. He moved because of the enemy and the power of the enemy. The enemy would wipe them out. 600 men, strong warriors, 600 would have wiped them out. Men, women, children, spears, guns, whatever else they used there. They didn't use guns, sorry. All right. God is always in control. God's thoughts are always higher than ours. Always. So don't try and figure this out. And there's a lot of time, a lot of things that I'll try to figure out. I can't. Wherever the battle is, God positions himself. We're not alone in our battles. We're not alone in our fights. We're not alone in our struggles. God will position himself strategically in the best place possible in your life. It may be different in my life, but he will position himself in the best place possible to fight for you. To fight for you. Do you know that you matter to God? You know that. Why would Jesus die for you if you didn't matter for God? You matter. God sets about creating a whole salvation plan because of you. Because of us. That's why we're sitting here today. We need to find our footing. We need to get back our traction. And our traction is simply this, like, do we have to work harder now? Is there more things on the to-do list? I want to tell you something, just secretly. I think there's more things on our to-be list than there are on our to-do list. Because to-do lists come actually from out of our to-be lists. Like, be strong. It's kind of like a doing thing, isn't it? Be strong. No, it's be strong in the Lord. Oh, makes a difference. Be filled. That's a to-do thing. Oh, be filled with the Spirit. Something that God does. It's something that God is. It's something that God will always be. He will never change that. He will always be strong. He will always be a warrior. He will always be good. He will always be kind. He will always show mercy. That's His nature. And I want to go through all the Scriptures. Friends, there are a ton of them in the Scriptures just about who God is toward us. Without God, we don't make it. Without God, we don't get out of this thing. Without God, we don't get out of the thing. Now you're saying to me, but what about the one that died? What about, let me tell you something now. Every one of you are going to die. Oops, me too. None of us get out of this alive unless Jesus comes again. So the bride says, come. We need to sing that song, I promise you. We need to sing it over and over again. The bride says, come. We're all going to die. I don't have answers for that. But I do know in the shaking, there's a shaping. In the shaking, God is doing something inside of our hearts. He's strengthening the things that must stay. The things that last. The things that mean something in the kingdom. And we have the ability of attaching too much to our lives. We've done it. And that's why God will need to shake us. Now, I know none of you are dogs, but have you ever seen a dog shake itself when he gets out of the water? And we need to get that move right, my man. In the Spirit of God, we need to get that move right. We need to be able to get the move and get it swaying and get it out there so that we can shake with what God is doing, with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Would you all stand with me? I'm not going to make a special appeal. But I'm going to say this. I want you, just for a moment, to shut your eyes and pray. And pray meaningfully. And maybe it's a better idea if you actually pray for someone else. Pray for your wife. Pray for a family member. Pray for somebody that you can see around sitting in this room, standing in this room today. Pray. Say, God. And I'm going to pray a general prayer while I'm praying. But while I'm praying, I want you to pray. I want you to engage God. I want you to say, God, is there something in me that needs to be shaken off? If there's something in me that still needs to be given the rub or given the push or given the out, I want you to do it. And I'm giving you permission to do it, God, because everything that must be shaken will be shaken. And I'd rather surrender to your shaking than resist it. Don't refuse the voice of God. Don't despise God working with us. He disciplines those that He loves. Judgment will begin where? In the house of God. So let's pray. Father, today, thank you. Thank you that we are not left as orphans, that we are not left to our own device, that we are not left to our own happenings and doings. But we stand here today because you are our God, that you are the one that is ahead of all of this, that you have repositioned yourself in the worst possible situation that we find ourselves in today. God, you have positioned yourself to fight for us. And we don't have to be afraid. All we have to do is stand still and see the Yeshua, the salvation of our God, and know that we will get through this because you are with us. Thank you, Father, for every prayer that has been lifted up here today. I pray for all of us who are sitting in this room today, standing in this room today. Lord, would you draw near? Would you draw beside us? May we sense a nearness of your heart, the nearness of your hand, the nearness of your presence, that we can be strong in your strength. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Wonderful. You want to say anything, John? You done?
It's late.
It's late. That's a good statement. It's late. Sorry, we're 5 minutes late. Yes, but no. All right. Blessings to you all. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you sometime again. Keep looking. Thank you. God bless.